More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, banks are expected to be more open, but they're also expected to be more secure. How do you do both? IBM has designed the first financial services-ready public cloud that gives you the best of both worlds. It's a platform that will help you handle regulatory compliance, protect data privacy, and speed up innovation. So banking can be easier for banks. Visit ibm.com/financialcloud to learn more. IBM. Let's put smart to work.
Here's what you missed on Buck Sexton with America Now.
I find it fascinating that we are told these days that a wall doesn't work. Now, I know that for this round, the administration has backed off of the demand for budgeting for a wall, or at least the beginning of a wall on our southern border. Wall, barrier, fence, all of the above. But I do think that philosophically, we are getting into the realm of unreality when people say things like a wall won't work. Well, it all depends on what your definition of work may be. If one is trying to say that a wall is perfect, well, of course, then it doesn't succeed in the mission, that a wall is not sufficient to the task of securing our border in and of itself. But that's never been what great walls, barriers, fences, any and all of the above have entailed. There have been forces that are arrayed at the wall. There are guard towers. There's much more than just a wall, of course. And so a wall is one of many aspects of security. But I thought it would be interesting to just take a few moments to think about a history of walls and how this is one of the oldest forms of defensive structure. It really is the oldest form of defensive structure in human history. Building a wall as a defensive fortification or as a means of protecting a city, or yes, of keeping out invaders, keeping out the enemy, or just keeping people out from the neighboring country. All of these are things that walls have been used for these purposes. And to believe that walls don't matter is to believe that the physical world makes no difference. I mean, there are those who wrongly think that today geography makes no difference in the modern world. They come up with much more complicated reasons for the trouble of central governance in, say, Afghanistan. It's not about its terrain. It's not that the Hindu Kush Mountains come down through the center of the country like a giant dinosaur spine. No, it's that there's a lack of civil society and a whole bunch of social science reasons why the country is ungovernable and continues to be, from the perspective of at least the West, almost impossible to have a functioning central government. They don't want to believe that it's about, when I mean they, you know, the so-called smart set, the intelligentsia in this country, they don't want to believe that geography, terrain can make that much of a difference. And when I point out that whether it's in Scotland or Southeast Asia with the Hmong, or other places around the world where there are Highlanders, there are those who resist centralized government and who can do so with some degree of success. And it's because of the terrain. The central government has trouble controlling high ground. Geography is a feature of the physical world. It is our terrain, and it makes a difference. And walls are really among the earliest ways that human beings shaped terrain to their advantage, right? It is a man-made terrain. That is what a wall is. And so to think that a wall somehow doesn't matter or doesn't have an effect is just silly. Walls also have a psychological effect. It's not just about the security impact. And there are, of course, different kinds of walls. There are border walls, there are defensive walls, ramparts. And when you look at it in antiquity, the history of wall building is largely tied to the history of civilization itself. You could even say that a history of walls would be a history of the progression of civilization, because the wall that surrounds, whether it was made of wood and it was a simple fence, or all the way to the tremendous walled cities of Constantinople, and before that, Troy, and name Jericho, name a great city of antiquity, it had a wall. Now, I know those are defensive fortifications and not a border wall. But before I get too deep into the discussion about defensive fortifications and the walls that play a role in that, or the walls that are necessary for that, we could talk about the more famous border walls. I will exclude for our purposes, for example, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, the remains of the temple, because that's a wall of a building, right? That's not a wall that's built as a defensive fortification. But if we look at the most famous border walls in history, you can go all the way back to ancient Samaria. And whenever I think of Sumerians, I think of that part of Ghostbusters where he's like, Sumerian, Babylonian god, mumbo jumbo. They're talking about the ancient gods that somehow turned into ghosts or something in Ghostbusters. But I digress. 2,000 years before Christ, the Sumerians built a wall to keep out the neighbors that they didn't like. And the Amorites next door were supposed to be kept out. But unfortunately, the Amorites were able to overcome it. But they, 2,000 years B.C., there was a wall built to keep out a neighboring aggressive tribe by the Sumerians. Of course, then you can move on to among the most famous walls of all time, short of the Great Wall, the Long Wall of Athens, which was the means of connecting the great city-state of Athens to its ports. One of the deficiencies of construction that Athens suffered from is that Athens, ancient Athens, was landlocked, separated from the sea. It had two excellent harbors, though, at Piraeus and Phalerum. But of course, if you are suffering from a siege and you're cut off from the ocean, you're cut off from the Mediterranean, that doesn't do you much good. So they constructed barriers all along the stretch between the city of Athens, and this was in the 5th century BC, between the city of Athens and its ports on its coast, so that then, whenever there was a siege, and siege warfare was a constant in ancient Greece between these warring city-states, they could have access to the sea, which made it a lot harder to, well, starve them out and take the city. So building walls was an ingenious decision in the 5th century BC. Worked quite well. Another wall near and dear to my heart, Hadrian's Wall, just because I like history. Hadrian's Wall is around 120 AD. The emperor, the ancient Roman emperor Hadrian, created a stone wall. The remnants of it are still up, you can see some of the what was built. It has stayed, some of the ruins of this wall, because they were trying to protect Roman Britain from the rather warlike tribes, the barbarians, as the Romans thought of them, like the Picts that were in northern England and Scotland. Oh, that's right. Highland people avoiding central government authority. It's not like it started with kilts and bagpipes, my friends. This was the case in the first and second century AD. So that wall was about 10 feet by 15 feet. And it had forts, of course. Any good wall that's going to serve as a barrier between peoples has got to have a manned component to it because, yes, a ladder can get you over a wall or a rock wall you'll just climb over. But it does still serve a purpose, as I said, psychological as well as tactical. And it creates that sense of where Roman territory stopped and the barbarian territory started. A physical barrier allows for that, and it is a manifestation of the perception of state control as well as being a defensive fortification. Interesting, by the way, the original term barbarian comes from ancient Greek, and it's just those, it was a reference to barbar. They spoke something other than Greek, people outside of the Greek peninsula. And later, the Romans would eventually refer to Greeks as barbarians, which was kind of funny to them because the Romans stole Greek gods, Greek culture. The Romans were good at fighting and efficiency and engineering, and they borrowed a whole lot of the other stuff from the Greeks. But that's a discussion, I suppose, for another time. So back to Hadrian's Wall, a very famous wall, and it worked reasonably well for a while. But then it was not enough. They moved a barrier even further called the Antonine Wall, but eventually the Romans, as you know, evacuated. And there's a movie, King Arthur, with Clive Owen that deals with Hadrian's Wall and this period in the it's really the height of the expansion of ancient Rome. They made it all the way up into England. Then you have the most famous wall of all time. People always talk about how it's visible from space, the Great Wall of China, and it's really a series of walls that were connected together. It began in the 3rd century BC, but the sections that you know best were not, they didn't get constructed until between the 14th and 17th centuries. They were set up to protect the Ming Dynasty from nomads, and those of you who know your Asian history know that Asian nomads, in the case of the Mongols, became the most powerful dynasty, in the post-Roman pre-modern era. I don't think anybody ever had as much territory as the Khans, nor was anyone responsible for quite as much carnage, destruction, murder, and, well, a whole lot of other stuff too, some of it good. There are some that try to rehabilitate the Khans as they created a postal service, and thanks to them we have rugs and paper became more widespread. I'm familiar with all of that, but they also had habits like rolling up people that stole in a carpet and trampling them with horses to death, and there was some rough stuff. Or setting up a post on a wagon, and any able-bodied man in a city that they took that was taller than that post, they would cut off his head. That was a way to make an impression. So the Great Wall of China is a series of defensive fortifications that for a long time were effective in part. I mean, they obviously, a wall is not a cure-all, and no one says that it is, but it was the largest man-made object in the world, and it did not stop some of the nomads from making their way in, and it did not even save the Ming Dynasty. But anyway, the Great Wall of China, of course, constructed over the course of a millennium. Then there are the walls of the walls of Constantinople, one of the greatest cities of antiquity. It had 14 miles of barricades, of walls around the city, and they included a moat, and they were the inner wall was 40 feet tall and 15 feet thick. So that's what kept Constantinople a great city for so long. It was very difficult, and it wasn't until the Ottomans in 1453 when they brought gunpowder to bear, that finally the city was taken. But the Byzantine Empire held out much longer than it would have otherwise because of not just Constantinople's incredible strategic location at the, well, at the mouth of where the Mediterranean turns into, where the Bosphorus, where the Mediterranean and the Black Sea meet. So it's clearly a very, very valuable real estate, but also because of the tremendous walls built around the city. And then on the not celebrated side of things, of course, you have the Berlin Wall, which separated people in East and West Germany. It was erected in 1961, and it had guard towers and electrified fences, and people were killed trying to cross over, and it separated people from a city. But it was effective at keeping a population separated from another population. So I just think that the history of walls to me is fascinating, and I could do a whole other segment, and maybe I will later on how you look at the walled fortifications, and they are necessary for civilization. Without a walled village, or without, and you go back into medieval times, the feudal era, without the ability to create walls around a city, or at least have a walled keep to defend people in the village from becoming overrun by marauders and bandits or a neighboring warlord and killing everyone, you would not have really been able to have the progression of civilization, well, anywhere, but in the Western world particularly. So walls are essential. Walls are important, and they've been around a long time. And despite what Democrats want to say these days, walls do work. They are not perfect, but they serve a purpose. And it's not just about the physical barrier. It's also a psychological manifestation of a border between states. It is the physical location where one power gives way to another. So I just want to talk about walls a little bit there as we get ready for, it'll be a while, I think, before we can talk about the context of the budget again.
Like us on Facebook. Just search Buck Sexton.
Today, banks are expected to be open and secure. That's why IBM has designed the first financial services-ready public cloud that gives you the best of both worlds. So banking can be easier for banks. Visit ibm.com/financialcloud to learn more. IBM, let's put smart to work.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for Smart Money Happy Hour. Pull up a chair. It's the happy hour you wish your friends were having.
Mix two money experts with some hot takes and a splash of nostalgia, and you get me, George Camel.
And me, Rachel Cruz, talking unfiltered about what's going on in the world, pop culture, and how to afford a life you love.
We're talking money, celebrity budgets, and my budget for my two French bulldogs. It's a lot.
You'll hear it all on Smart Money Happy Hour. Listen on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.